Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Big Time Talker podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network, live nationwide. I'm Burke Allen. Our phone number is 516-418-5635. 516-418-5635. You can send us questions and messages in our chat room as well. And the Big Time Talker podcast is a service of our friends at SpeakerMatch.com, America's largest online speakers bureau. If you're a meeting planner or a speaker, check them out at SpeakerMatch.com. Today we're talking, what else? The pandemic and its effect on business, in particular, the music and entertainment business, as we welcome my buddy, 90s country hitmaker Lionel Cartwright. He's a guy that has hit number one. He's an award-winning singer-songwriter, familiar face in Nashville, and continues to write and produce and record, as well as mentor young artists, and he performs. And best of all, in my estimation, he and I share the home state of West Virginia. Lionel Cartwright's our guest today. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Burke. Good to be in touch with you here.
Well, I first of all, I hope you and your family are doing fine. Is everybody staying safe and healthy there?
Man, we are. I've got a mother in her late 80s, and so far she's good, too. She's here in Nashville, although she is definitely getting tired of being cooped up. She's the Energizer Bunny.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad that everybody's doing well. And I want to talk about the effects of this pandemic on the music industry, but I'd also like to roll things back in time, because I would like to think that there are folks younger than you and I who are listening to the Big Time Talker podcast, and they may not be familiar with your thumbprint on the music industry. You grew up in a beautiful downtown Glendale, West Virginia, and I'm very familiar with that area and know Moundsville right next to it as well. And you share that hometown with another guy who's done okay in the country music business.
Yeah, Brad Paisley. I tell people we're not only from the same town, we're from the same hill. His dad
amazing.
Was a phys ed teacher at our high school, and so I knew Brad early on when he was just getting started, and he's done amazing. He's had an amazing career, and hey, I want to mention real quick, though, Burke, I'm originally from Mason, West Virginia, which is right above Point Pleasant, which is right above Huntington, and then
yes.
My family moved up to Glendale when I was about 9, so I'm from kind of both areas.
Both sides of the state. So you were a Mason County guy then?
Originally, yeah.
Have you been back to see the Mothman statue, you know, based on the famous Mothman prophecies and that movie with Richard Gere and the book by John Keel? If you haven't done it yet, you got to fit that into your next trip back home to West Virginia.
I went to a cousin's daughter's wedding up there, and I saw the Mothman statue, so I've made
all
the
right.
Pilgrimage.
Well done, sir. Well done. All right, we could talk about our home state of West Virginia forever, but I want to fast forward to, you know, what took you to Nashville and sort of that rocket ship ride to the top of the charts?
Well, I'm one of those, I was one of those weird kids that kind of knew what he wanted to do early on. You know, I think by about 12 or 13, I wanted to go to Nashville. And my folks were adamant about me getting a college degree. My dad kind of hit a ceiling, you know, not having one in the power business there. And so I did that, but it worked out well because I worked on the Wheeling Jamboree during my college years, basically there. And that was awesome experience back when the WWVA Jamboree was still a going entity.
Sure.
But man, it's all I ever wanted to do, really. So once I graduated from college and I'd put about 4 or 5 years in there at the Jamboree, man, I loaded everything up I had in an old van and I headed off to Nashville.
Now, before we talk about Nashville, though, now that's interesting. I didn't know about your background with the Jamboree. And for the folks who are listening to the Big Time Talker podcast, if you're just tuning in, Nashville hitmaker Lionel Cartwright is our guest today. The Wheeling Jamboree was second only to the Grand Ole Opry in its influence in country music, and it was broadcast, you know, to, I think, 35 states in the Midwest on that big powerhouse radio station for so many years. Tell me about the most interesting country music performer that you met while you were at the Jamboree. Is there one memory that really stands out from those early years?
Yeah, there is, right off the bat. I mean, there's a lot. We had a name act there every Saturday night, so it was an amazing training ground just to sit on the side of the stage. I was a staff musician, eventually became the band leader and was a singer there. And the first hour of that two-hour show, we did two every Saturday night, would be regional acts, you know. So our band would back them up, and then the star would come out. But I did have quite a thrill there, Bert, one night when Buck Owens asked me to sit in with his band. So I got to be a guest buckaroo for one night.
And, wow.
That's right when Emmylou Harris had a real big hit, a cover of his song from the early 60s, Together Again. And Emmylou Harris had a big hit single on that. And right smack dab in the middle of that record, people can go listen to it. Glendy Harden played this killer piano solo right after they copped the original steel guitar solo. So I got to be a buckaroo, and when it came time in that song, he threw it over to me, so I copped the Emmylou piano solo, and that was quite a thrill, you know, because Buck was high, still is for me, really high up there in the echelon.
That's an amazing memory from the Wheeling Jamboree. Lionel Cartwright is our guest today. Visit him online at lionelcartwright.com. All right, so you spend your college years at the Jamboree, and then you load everything up in the van, and you're off to the Music City, to Nashville. And immediately, doors started to fly open, and before you knew it, you were on top of the charts. Is that right? That's how that always works.
Yeah, right. Well, it was kind of a circuitous route. I got here. And, you know, you're set to do anything you have to do, wait tables, whatever, you know. And I got an opportunity I went to an audition one day. I'd gotten with a manager. He was actually in L.A. But he said, man, I got an audition. I want you to go. And it's for TNN. I didn't know what TNN was, you know. But I went to this audition out at the Opry House. And it was crazy, Burke, because they were putting a show together. This was when the Nashville Network was just getting off the ground. So they were putting a show together, and they were looking for somebody to be a featured singer on the show. They were also looking for a band leader. So when they saw my resume from the Wheeling Jamboree, they hired me on the spot. And they said, oh, by the way, it's in Knoxville. And I thought, Knoxville? I don't want to go to Knoxville, but man, it was amazing, Burke. I went over there. I met my wife, who this year is our 35th year together, but I also got to work with Hall of Fame songwriters, Bootlow and Felice Bryant, who were living over around Gatlinburg and were writing musicals at the time because Roger Miller had a big hit musical called Big River. So Bootlow and Felice were trying their hand at writing musicals, and our band did all the recordings for those. I think it was two musicals, 22 songs each. And man, Burke, I got to go up and sit in Boudlow's basement with him, charting the songs. And it was, you know, I knew full well who they were and their resume, and to get to sit and work with them was, it was invaluable. And it also really gave me confidence as a songwriter to more incorporate that into what I was doing.
Lionel Cartwright, our guest today, and if you're not familiar with the Bryants, I mean, they wrote some of the biggest songs of all time. I remember interviewing years ago from England the band Nazareth and asking them about their huge hit, you know, Love Hurts, and and them just being all about the Bryants. And, of course, that was a huge hit for the Everly Brothers. But they must have written dozens of hits. And for you as a young guy to have that opportunity, man, what a thrill.
It was amazing. I mean, they wrote Bye Bye Love. They wrote Rocky Top. They wrote All I Have to Do is Dream. And, of course, as you mentioned, Love Hurts, which is a big hit in the 70s.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. And speaking of hits, eventually, you know, we teased about it all coming to you automatically. Didn't come automatically, but the hits did come, including, if memory serves me right, there were three top tens and a number one. Is that right?
I had three songs that made it into the top three. I think I had about 12 singles. Several of those made the top 10, but I had two that were top three called Give Me His Last Chance and a song that was inspired from listening to a transistor radio at night in West Virginia called I Watched It on My Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And the number one for me was a song called Leap of Faith.
Wow. And suddenly, in the early 90s, you find yourself, as they say back home, in some pretty high cotton. Favorite memory from those hit-making days?
Man, there were so many. You know, it's quite a ride, and it's an amazing thing to, you know, to reach that point because so many don't. I knew full well it was a privilege to get in that that altitude, but yeah, wow, there are so many memories. I could tell you about Bill Monroe pitching me a song on a couch backstage at a show. All the great people I got to do shows with, Alan Jackson, The Judds, Ricky Skaggs, just so many. But it was quite a thrill to be nominated for Best New Male Vocalist with two other guys, Clint Black, and also ran named Garth Brooks.
Yeah, those guys are okay.
But yeah, they and you know, Clint won it too, because Clint was coming off a year having five number one songs off one album. And oh my goodness, so many great memories. But yeah, to have that Billboard magazine and see your song hit number one, it's a pretty surreal experience. It was for me anyway.
Lionel Cartwright is our guest today on the Big Time Talker podcast, powered by Speaker Match, and you know, number one country hit maker in the 90s, and that will never be taken away. And you've continued to do an awful lot of work, much of it less high profile, lots of songwriting, lots of producing, lots of mentoring young artists, being a worship leader, music and praise worship leader in your church, and you continue to perform and do public speaking. I wonder if you could share with us what it was like, though, when the hits stopped and what that transition was like for you. What does that do to someone's psyche, for you in particular?
Man, that's a great question, Burke, and I think you framed it perfectly. It's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's hard because, like I said, ever since I was 12, 13 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and darn if it didn't happen, you know, it actually happened. But, you know, you live with that dream so long, and then that identity, and it happens. It's tricky because you confuse that role, you know, that not a job, but it's a role, it's an identity. You kind of confuse that with who you really are. So when that gets taken away from you, it can really throw you for a loop as to, whoa, without that, who am I? So there were some times there that was real, that were really challenging. We, you know, we were starting to have kids, and the salvation for me really came through a surprising thing. I did all those shows at TNN, Burke, and the producer for that, who, by the way, years later, producer in Knoxville, built this soundstage, and we all thought he was out of his mind. He built a $2 million soundstage in Knoxville, Tennessee, like you'd find in, you know, Hollywood. And darned if years later, it became the birthplace and was purchased by Scripps Networks, and it's where HGTV started, that same building. It was crazy.
Is that right? Wow.
It's true. It's insane. But back in the day, I told that producer, I said, hey, any background music you want, I'll be glad to do it for you. And he had a run of shows on cable. There was a kind of a underground hit on Nickelodeon. It's funny, when I meet people that are about 15 or so years younger than me, I tell them about my country music hits, and they're like, oh, that's nice. But when I tell them I did the theme song of Hey Dude on Nickelodeon, they're like, no way.
That's great.
So anyway, I went back to that, and country music kind of went to a place, and I thought I'm just not a fit as an artist for this genre anymore. But I went back and fell into a ton of work doing composing for television, and I still do it to this day. In fact, I'm working on it as we speak here, and it was just a fantastic new route to go down, because I set up a studio at the house. And the internet, the technological advances in recording, and I saw it, Burke. I saw it coming, and I thought, man, I am going there, and I ain't looking back. So I set up a hard disk studio at my house, and man, it was fantastic. Didn't have to be on the road 300 days a year. Got to make really a wider parameter of music, all kinds of styles, and I've loved it. So, yeah, I'm still a singer-songwriter. I will always be a singer-songwriter, and I love working with other artists. Man, I feel like I've had a really blessed ride.
Our guest is Lionel Cartwright, and I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you've actually either composed, played, or produced on over 100 TV theme songs. Is that right? That's a huge number.
Yeah, it's true. It's been a crazy. I came up through the old recording way, you know, Burke. And man, it's great if you have the budget to go in a big studio. But I literally watched our industry change to where the new studios were in people's houses, and you know, so yeah, I never could have seen that coming.
Well, one of the reasons we're so excited to talk to you on the Big Time Talker podcast, since we've all moved it indoors, you know, I'm no longer broadcasting in my studio. My home studio is right by my kitchen table now. But so many folks are doing that, you know, from all over the world. But you have been sort of homebound and self-quarantined for a long time. You know how to do this, and you transitioned way before the rest of the world had to do it because of COVID-19. And I wonder if you could share a couple of tips on adjusting to working from home. What's your routine like, and how do you stay productive? How do you do what you do without leaving the house?
Again, excellent question. I've really watched all these different walks of life, from TV talk show hosts to you go down the list. And I think working from home, it's just like anything else. You know, there's pros and cons. The pros are great. And as you know, you can save some serious money. So some of your pursuits that may have not been possible because of expenses are now possible. But man, it's got some hidden, I think on the surface, hidden challenges. And that is, you eat at home, you work at home, you sleep at home. You know, I think getting a routine for me has really helped. Just like I'm going to work, man, even though I'm going to my studio. So for a lot of years I did. I would go downtown. I had a writing deal downtown. So I'd go to that house every day and write songs. So I think having a routine, because it's so easy to just slip out of that, and exercise, getting outside is critical. So many songwriters I know just go out and take a walk. You know, if you hit a if you hit a snag, or it's challenging, right? I mean, I'm sure you know too.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. You know, I'm doing just as much work, but I'm no longer doing it from airports and hotel rooms. It's all from right here. And, you know, you do have to make some adjustments, and there are blessings as well. I have a 15-year-old son who I'm able to spend a whole lot more time with because he's home as well doing internet homeschooling. So, you know, I think there are two sides to every story, and certainly not to minimize how tough it is for so many people who are going through this. Lionel Cartwright is our guest today on the Big Time Talker podcast. You're still very tied in to the music and entertainment industry, and there are segments of that industry that have been totally decimated by the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes.
You know, all touring activity ended the second week of March, and there's no word on when any of those shows are going to be rescheduled. And it's not just the guy up front. It's the sound guy and the lighting people and the roadies and the box office people and the tour accountants and the promoters and the venues and on and on and on. What's the general sense from your folks that you deal with, your friends in the industry, as to how this is all going to work out and you know, take their temperature for us as somebody who's on the inside of Nashville? How are folks feeling about it?
Well, I think it's devastating, and mainly to the support people, right, around the stars or the headliners. It's wild, Burke, because live, our industry has gone through such shifts. Songwriting royalties, record royalties have taken such a nosedive that the only place left to make money was live touring. So now with that being halted, I think it's going to do some real damage or I'll look at it more positively. I think it's going to redirect a lot of lives because there's only so long you can go. And I'm sure those tours will fire back up. But as you've heard, one of the last things, I was listening to Bill Gates, who's been one of my favorite people to listen to on this, because he was so prescient with this, with his TED Talk in 2015. But it sounds, Burke, like one of the last things to come back is going to be public gatherings. So that's the concert business, you know, that's how it works. So, it's going to be a tough one coming out of it. Because like I said, that's kind of where the whole industry has gone, as the refuge from recording income, from songwriting income, was live music. We've all said, you know, we've watched, especially the past 10 years, as streaming has become the main way people get their music, which I think is great, by the way. Again, like we're saying, there's pros and cons to everything. But,
sure.
Yeah, it's going to leave a mark for sure. It's really, our industry is just, the changes in this industry, man, in the past 20 years have been precedented. And you know, though, Burke, I talk when I give keynotes, and when I talk to people, to groups, to conventions, it's interesting that because of technology, and now way even exponentially more, COVID-19, whole industries are just going to be turned upside down. So I don't know, it's change is coming, you know.
You know, you made a great point, and Lionel Cartwright, our guest today, visit him online at lionelcartwright.com, that you made a point that I think a lot of people maybe hadn't thought of who are not in the entertainment industry, and that is that you know, all those songwriting royalties and you know, the CDs are not being purchased anymore, so those physical sales, all those other revenue streams have gradually dried up, and the one last refuge to make a living for many entertainers is that live touring business. You also mentioned you do keynote speeches. Of course, that's not happening. No one's getting on airplanes and no one is having conventions now. I wonder if you have dipped your toe in the water of doing virtual online presentations for companies and corporations, and how you see that all playing out.
Man, you're reading my mail. That's where I'm going. I'm working on putting together a little preview video right now, but I think it's interesting, maybe in some kind of Zoom capacity, because it seems like companies, right, and I know you know about this, are still going to want to have some kind of group gathering to gather their people. So, yeah, man, I am absolutely looking to go virtual with my, you know, and my keynotes, Burke, are they're a combination of talking and playing songs. I take instruments and play songs, but my whole thing is one of the things I hope to encourage people with is not to get discouraged when you see a way you've been making an income may come to an end, you know, and the tried and true may not be the place to go anymore. There's an old book. Remember the book? I loved this title, and man, it's been such a big sentence in my mind. Who moved my cheese?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And I think that's what's happening with a lot. I do think the music business was the first one through the wall, and they always say the first one through the wall is the bloodiest. But I think there's a lot people can learn from what the music business went through, but in almost now with whatever business you're in, you know?
I have a close friend who's an attorney who always says flexibility is the hallmark of a professional. And I think now is the time that no matter what you do or how you put food on your table, you got to learn to be flexible because someone has certainly moved the cheese for all of us. Lionel Cartwright, if folks want to get in touch with you and they want to find out more about you, is LionelCartwright.com the best place to circle up with you?
Yes, sir, LionelCartwright.com. You can reach me by email there. I've also got a YouTube channel. Been putting a lot of little performances out there recently with this COVID thing. It's fun. But definitely LionelCartwright.com is my Grand Central station.
Very good. Oh, and we have one message that just popped into the chat room, and it's from Karen, who's listening back home, actually in our home state of West Virginia. And she wanted to know what it was like to participate. Oh, well, this is great. This is something you and I did together on the Bill Withers Lean On Me online tribute video.
Oh, man, I was so honored to be part of that. Thank you for having me on that, Burke.
Thank you, Karen, for the question.
You know, yeah, thank you, Karen. That's a great question. And Bill Withers, man, you know, I'm a fan of music. I'm a fan of I grew up, came of age during the big singer-songwriter era of the 70s. So Bill was right in that mix along with so many others, right? But Bill, I've thought about this a lot, Burke. There's a great doc, by the way. I think it's called Still Bill. And it's
yes,
hard to
right.
find. I think you can find it on Amazon. But Bill Withers has a very unique kind of career in that the hits he had, especially two or three or four of them, they like arc over everything. I mean, you know, you can have a hit song, but when you have Lean On Me or Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone, those like they go to such a different altitude. They go out of the atmosphere to a higher altitude and just become so ingrained in the culture. I think the fact that you're hearing Lean On Me so much during any time, right, of adversity, that song is going to surface. And it was just an incredible honor to be part of memorializing Bill Withers because he is, I'm telling you, he's not the only one, but he's one of a very select few that just have a singular contribution to world music.
If you haven't seen that tribute video, it's all over social media. You can probably Google it or find it on Facebook. And Lionel Cartwright performs along with, gosh, a whole smorgasbord of folks, Jimmy Buffett and Kathy Mattea. I think you were asked by a legendary country sideman, Charlie McCoy, and the Davidson Brothers, and Landau
yeah.
Eugene Murphy Jr. I mean, the list just goes on and on of these fabulous performers that were a part of that. Lionel, we're almost out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
Man, just to encourage people, I know we're going through a tough time here, and I'm just so in awe of the people on the front lines. My daughter's one of them. Our daughter is a nurse that works at a hospital in Chattanooga. But I'd just like to encourage everybody, we are going to make it through this. It may mean some big time change. In fact, I think it's inevitable that our world is going to change. But speaking as somebody who has gone through deep, as Burke said, psychological change, professional change, occupational change, like who moved my cheese? It's not in the same place anymore. I just want to encourage people. There's all kinds of ways to apply your gifts and skills to jobs, occupations that you may never have dreamed of. So hang in there. I just want to encourage people, hang in there. We will find a way forward.
Great advice from Lionel Cartwright. That's right. Keep those blinders open and take them off, and keep your eyes open for what the next opportunities might be in this tough time during COVID-19. Lionel Cartwright, our guest. Visit him online at lionelcartwright.com. And we love your music, love your hits. And now every time I'm watching a TV show, I'm going to be looking to see if your name is right there in the credits as doing the theme song. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Burke.
Lionel Cartwright, our guest today on the Big Time Talker podcast, powered by our friends at SpeakerMatch.com. Wherever you go, whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you for listening. Bye, everybody.